podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gilbert Kelly of New City Church, located in Fairburn and Peachtree City, Georgia. For more information, please visit us at newcitychurch.net.
Real quickly, and I want you to turn with me to the book of Joshua. Actually, this is it, and it has been for a long time, but seemingly as of late it's becoming even a greater such a love that I have for the book of Joshua. It just really is, because it's really a powerful parallel of the children of Israel and the church, and there's so much of it. There's so many applications when I'm reading it that I see of where we are at today in the body of Christ, and it's one of my favorite books. And for the last several weeks, the Lord is actually had me in this book rereading the stories that all of us are familiar with, and this is kind of where the Lord zeroed me in on for tonight. Joel Osteen has what he calls a night of hope, and he takes these meetings all over America. And I know with some folks, you know, it's a kind of a, you know, with some people it is, but he has such a great message on hope, building up hope. He's controversial, well, but that's okay. So am I. Hallelujah. Someone came up to me one night and they said, "Oh, brother, wow. Oh, wow, you really stepped on our toes today." I said, "Excuse me, I am so sorry. I apologize. It wasn't your toes I was going for. It was the jugular vein." but he does. It's all over America. And so I'm not Joel Osteen tonight, but I want to bring a message of hope tonight. I want to encourage, especially those of you that have been in this warfare for a long time, that have been in the battle for a while. I want to use this word tonight to encourage you. In Joshua chapter 6, a very, very familiar chapter that everybody in this house knows. I actually want to read from two places in the Bible. I want to begin here in Joshua chapter 6, and then I want to read over in the New Testament from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 36. But beginning in Joshua chapter 6, verse 1, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up." And we got to go to Jericho. Remember, guys? We went to Jericho. We went to Jericho this last time. And we don't get to go there all the time, because that has now been taken over by the Muslims, and we don't get to go there as much now as we used to go in the past. But when it was under the leadership of Israel, it was just awesome to go when there was not the conflict. It was a great place, the best fruit in the world. As a matter of fact, it is the bread fruit basket for the entire Middle East. Some of the greatest fruits, man, grapes about that size. It's just beautiful. And we used to go when it was not as quite as much of a conflict as it is now. We would go and we would spend a little time there, and we had a restaurant. It's still there that we would eat at. And but we were there, and hopefully when we go back again, you'll get a chance to go. But so when I'm reading this, I'm seeing this. That's the wonderful thing about ever going there, right, Kathy? It's like when you read the Bible. I remember the first time I went in the early 80s, When I came back home, I was pastoring that time, and the first time I preached on, you know, on Elijah calling the fire down on me, I said, whoa, I was just there. Man, I could just see it. It was just wonderful. That's why it is so important and so wonderful that you get to go, because it does make it alive. Now, Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. You shall compass the city, all ye men of war. Go round about the city once, thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall what? Shout with a, and the wall of the city shall, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. Hebrews chapter, now we like what I just read from Joshua chapter 6, the first few verses. We may not like this as much as we like that. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, for ye have need of patience or endurance, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this awesome and wonderful time of worship, the worship experience that we've had. Oh, God, now bring hope to us tonight, Lord. You are hope, Jesus, our only hope. Encourage us tonight, God, from your word, and we will give you the glory and the honor, for it's in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, that we ask. Amen and amen. Now, before you sit down, turn around to 2 or 3 folk, and I want you to say to them, don't stop short. That's the word. That's the word of the Lord tonight. That's the word of the Lord tonight for this house. That's the word of the Lord. Don't stop short. Don't stop short. Oh, Pastor, I want my word tonight. Well, here is one from the word. Don't stop short. Now hold on to that. Don't stop short. You know, one of the things that I have found out in our time of traveling is that not only do you have to celebrate the courage to start, but you need to nurture the courage to celebrate those who have the faith to finish. Can you hear that? Because there were a lot of things, churches, ministries. There were a lot of things that were started that never got finished. And the only glory that God gets is in you finishing. He doesn't get glory just in you starting. He gets glory in you finishing what he gave you to do. That's why Paul said we are his workmanship. Another word for that word workmanship is the word masterpiece. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. Now that literally literally means we are God's tapestry. We are God's workmanship, his masterpiece, his tapestry. How many of you understand tonight that when God begins to make a life, if we are not careful, we will act as if we have made a lot of lives. And what we do is we begin to judge people by the strand that they are in at that moment and not realize God is weaving. I said God is weaving the poetry of the will of God for their life. See, some of you need to realize that where you are in this season is not the end of the story. Can you just tell somebody that? Come on, amen. Say, where you are is not the end of the story. Come on, right? It's only the blue thread or the red thread. Come on, or the yellow thread that God is weaving the tapestry of his will in your life, and you need endurance and you need strength so that you can recognize his poetry is in motion. Now, it's interesting here as we go back just for a few moments and look at the story again in Joshua chapter 6. It's interesting that God has convinced this whole group of people to follow a man named Moses out of Egypt. See, when you recognize that Joshua doesn't really begin in Joshua. Actually, Joshua really begins in the book of Exodus. And if you remember, the word Exodus means departure or to have exits. How many know God is always going to have an exit ramp in your life? I said an exit ramp in your life so that the thing that held you in captivity cannot keep you there. You do understand tonight, he is the God of exits. And so here he is, he leads them out of Egypt, but they get stuck in a place called the wilderness. And what was meant to be about an 11-day journey are at the most 3 months, because there is one verse that says he took them the long way. But what was meant to be about a 2-week or 11-day journey, or as I said, 3 months at the most, became a 40-year, not season, but cycle, because they stayed stuck in a place called unbelief. Now, listen, unbelief is not doubt. Doubt, you can't stop. I don't care how much you pray, how many times you speak in tongues, how many times you read your Bible, you cannot stop doubt. I wonder, anybody here tonight, in this service tonight, ever experienced doubt? See, everybody experiences doubt, because doubts are those arrows that come out of darkness that shoot at you that you don't expect. That's why you have to have the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness so that you can protect your heart from those moments when doubts come out of nowhere. Well, I just don't believe this will work. Or I'm going to see a doctor and you think, well, what might this report be? And then, boom, out of nowhere, someone say out of nowhere, doubt comes. But notice this, they did not suffer from doubt, but from unbelief. You see, unbelief says, I have taken a survey, or I have evaluated all of the circumstances, and I choose not to believe. That's why America is full of Christian atheists, because we keep carrying a Bible we don't believe.
And we keep saying in songs, come on, amen, that we don't believe. We talk about freedom. We talk about freedom, and yet we live in captivity. We talk about him walking into the room and everything changing, and we go home and nothing has changed. Because the truth of the matter is that we have to come to a point where he said, listen, the only way that you get out of this place where you're stuck is you have to begin to believe me to take the steps of faith that you have never taken before. Because the only way that you can change a cycle is for you to change. So they begin to move, make an effort to move toward God. And as they begin to take possession of their promised land, now for them, it was a physical, natural land, right? But for you and I, our promised land, it's not physical, but it's his promises. It's the promises of God. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, we have these divined, unexplainable, fabulous promises that are ours through the divine power of God. How many of you are glad tonight for promises? And how many of you are glad for the power of God that can fulfill them? He also got a hold of that same principle Paul did. And he said in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That means everything that you need to be a winner is already yours. Oh, I want to say that one more time. Remember, come on, amen. Remember, it's already finished. You see, God never starts until it's finished. He never starts until he finishes. It's already finished. I hear folk that, you know, they'll come up and they'll say, hey, you know, Brother Frank, I just wish the Lord would hurry up and heal me. Oh, God, if you would just hurry up, Lord, and change my circumstances. Oh, God, bless me. See, the truth of the matter tonight is God is not hurrying up and doing anything because God doesn't have to hurry up and do anything that's already done. Can I get a witness in the house tonight? Listen, the gospel is not about let's get finished. The gospel is about finished. The kingdom of God, come on, amen, is not about do. Turn to your neighbor and say, the kingdom of God is about done. You understand tonight? He has done. He has already done everything necessary for you to be healed. He has already done everything tonight necessary for you to be blessed. He has already done everything tonight for you to walk in joy, for you to have peace, for you to have victory. He's already paid the price. That's what this whole week is about. He's already paid the price. That's what next Sunday is already about. He's already paid the price. But I have to learn how to appropriate it and make it available in my own life. So when he gets to Joshua 6, now watch this. They are already in the land. And they are about to take possession. And the first city that they come to is Jericho. Now how many remember what the meaning of Jericho is? You know what Jericho means? It means the place of fragrance. Jericho means the place of fragrance. The interesting thing is, when you read chapter 6, the first 5 verses, God is talking to Joshua. But from verse 6 on, Joshua is talking to the people. You see, God tells Joshua things he doesn't tell the people. He said, Joshua, I'm going to give you an opportunity to take possession of this land. You're going to have to move into your promise. But watch this, Jericho, the place of fragrance, was shut up tight. It has been shut up tight. None went in and none came out. It is shut up tight. I wonder tonight, anybody ever reached a point in your life where you felt like you had a promise, but it was just locked up? I mean, you had something you knew God had for you, but it was behind a barrier that didn't want to let it to you and didn't want to let you into it. And the key is, will you have tenacity? Will you have endurance enough on what's been promised to you that while he is weaving the thread so that this tapestry, you know, is enough that what has been promised to you. See, and while he's weaving the thread so that this tapestry can become a revealing of his glory and his power in your life. Because if you stop short, if you abort it, you will never get the full picture of what God intended for your life. You do already know tonight that the enemy will always use problems to block your view of your promises. See, the city, the problem was not that the city was so big. The issue is the walls were big. See, the things that allow you in to it. Now, most historians say that the wall was so large and so thick that chariots could run side by side on top of that wall. Why the details? Because God is trying to give a picture. See, everything in the Old Testament, is a picture of a New Testament reality. You see, the enemy wants to show up at your house and make you believe that your present set of problems is so much bigger than the God that you serve, that you will never reach what you've been promised. Because it seems so insurmountable. It's called the impossible. See, when the enemy can convince you that your promise is locked up behind walls that are so big and you will never get to them, then the temptation becomes to settle for less. See, that's the temptation, to settle for less. I mean, what do you do when what you are looking like, when what you are looking at does not look like what you've been promised? Anybody ever been there? I have got, come on, amen. When what you are looking at is not what you have been promised. I mean, we come in here and Pastor Gilbert keeps preaching about joy, and I keep going home staring at a wall of depression. I'm a part of a group, and everybody is testifying about the peace that is in their life, and I come home to a wall of cussing, fighting discord and strife, and I'm believing God is supposed to give me peace, but this wall looks like it's never going to change. I mean, what do you do when your kids, who have been promised that they will walk with God, but seem to be on a course where they are in total rebellion, running crazy, hate you, hate church, hate God, and you say, this wall, I know I've got a promise, but my problem is blocking my view and I can't see it. Are you in a service and you get a prophetic word about prospering. Woo-hoo, thank you, Lord. My God, that's just what I needed. Lord, have mercy. Oh, my bank account is going to run over. Oh, I'm going to be blessed in my going in and my going. Oh, everything I touch. And we jump up and down and we leap and we scream and we are holler and we are so excited. And you go out after the shout and on your way home, the car breaks down. Or unexpected medical bills. God, my utility bill is so high. It's higher than my mortgage this month. And everything begins to pile up. And it becomes a wall that is insurmountable. Come on, amen. And the temptation is to say, forget it. See, God is wanting to bring you and I to a point that he lets the wall get so big that he lets you and I understand that what is going to happen in our life cannot be done by our own human ingenuity. It's not possible for you to scale the walls. You ain't got enough bombs in your arsenal that can blow them up. But here's what I'm promising you, God says. If you walk with me, it will not be by power nor by might, but it will be by my strength. Come on, amen. Don't let your problems block the view of your promise. And so he brings, now watch this, he brings Joshua, who is the head of the house. See, there's no reason to talk to all of Israel if he can't get Joshua in alignment. See, he's got to talk to the leader, and he takes Joshua, and he says, listen, you see the doors are shut up. They shut up tight. Joshua, see how everything is locked down? Mm-hmm. But know that I have given you the city. See, at some point, you have to recognize that it may be that everything is locked down. Not because it believes it has the power to resist you, but because it has no power to keep you out. Therefore, it's locked down. It's trying to hold on as long as it can. Now, remember Rahab, the prostitute? Remember Rahab? Rahab had already told, remember what she told them? Our hearts have melted for fear. We know your God is with you and nothing is going to be impossible. Listen to me, church. Never allow your natural eye to teach your spirit man. See, the issue is not what I am seeing. The issue is, what do I understand about what I am seeing? What do I discern about what I am seeing? Because Joshua, your enemy has everything locked up, not just from you, but because of you. Now this is powerful. Where it says there, I have given you, in the Hebrew language, it is what is called the prophetic past tense. In other words, it's an action or an outcome yet to take place, but already predetermined. Oh, you don't hear me tonight. Anybody got your shouter on tonight? See, you haven't even engaged in the battle yet. Come on, amen. Turn to somebody and say, the fight is already fixed. Come on, help me. I said, you haven't even engaged in the battle tonight. The fight is already fixed. Come on, amen. I mean, you haven't done anything, Joshua, but the city is yours. If you just do what I tell you to do, the fight is fixed. The victory has already been determined. I'm giving it to you now. You know, in the little area that I grew up in, the little hometown that I grew up in, it's kind of like... It's kind of like Mayberry, you know, the Andy Griffin show. And now the millennials don't know anything about Andy Griffin. Nip it in the bud. That's what Barney Fife would always say. And then before he could really, you know, do anything, he had to put a bullet in his pistol. But the hometown that I grew up in is kind of like Mayberry. The interesting thing is it's a real historical place with the courthouse sitting in the middle of the town, and it's just a beautiful, the scenery and the setting is really beautiful. And one of the things that they do a lot there now, because of a lot of the historical buildings that are in town, they shoot a lot of movies. They do a lot of movies. And I found out something. And boy, when I saw that, or I heard it, there went off an explosion on the inside of me. That when they're making movies, 99% of the time, they always film the ending first. You know that? They always film the ending first. Then they go back and do the rest of it. And I think, well, why do you do that? They got a simple answer. We do that so that those who are acting in the movie can know where they're headed to. Because if you know what the outcome is going to be, then you know how to act on the journey. And Isaiah said, the thing that separates our God from every other God in Isaiah 46, verse 10, is that he already knows the end from the beginning. That's why God never starts until he finishes. That's why he can say, I have given you your healing. Come on, amen. I have given you your promotion. I have given you your breakthrough. I have given you your joy. Now start on your journey and let me bring it to pass what I have already given to you. I've read the end of this book. I know the outcome. Gilbert, we win. We win. We win. I don't have to wait till the end. I'm like the movie makers now. Come on, hallelujah. Ooh, when I heard that, boy, there was an explosion. Wow, how prophetic is that? What a spiritual insight that is. So that we know how to act on the journey. Now let me just close with a few illustrations on what is my strategy for not stopping. Number one, learn to discern. Don't just look. Because if you look, if you let what you are looking at determine what you believe, your problem will always block your promises. Secondly, understand that when your progress is not evident, your faith is still working. He said, Joshua, you shall march around this city. Now watch this. You've read this story. You're very familiar with this story. He uses one word 11 times in chapter 6. He says, I want you to take 7 priests, 7 ram's horns, 7 days, on the 7th day, 7 times, 7 blasts. He uses the word 7 over and over and over. And as you know, it's a picture of God's number. The number 7 represents completion. You come to the completion of something. So when he gives them this number over and over and over and over, what he literally is saying, your victory is assured. But it comes with process. In other words, it's not going to happen on lap 5. Come on. See, you're no different than I am. On lap three, I'm ready to, you know. I command you in Jesus' name, fall. Fall, I said. I said fall. Go, pain. I said go. I ain't got 7 days to walk around this thing. Hurry up. I need this thing broken right now. Can anybody relate to that besides me? I need this thing broken right now. See, how many know you can keep speaking to it? Sometimes it don't go nowhere. Can I help you? You know why? Because it's not built to respond to your voice. It's built to respond to your obedience. It's built to respond to your obedience. See, the temptation is to think we can short circuit and shortcut the stage. But listen, church. Greatness never goes on sale. Greatness never has a discount price. I mean, the Bible is always constantly making these references. In the fullness of time, after these things, in due season. What does that mean, Brother Frank? There's going to be times in your life when it looks like nothing is happening, and you're going to want to say, forget it. I'm out of here. I wonder tonight how many has thrown in the towel on lap six. I wonder, come on, how many have thrown in the lap, have thrown in the towel on lap six because they didn't see any visible evidence that their faith was working. I mean, I don't know about you. I wish God would have. Come on, God, just a few bricks to fall. Come on, just something to encourage me. God, I tithe this week. How about when I drive through McDonald's Monday? Can I get at least a free coffee? Just some kind of sign, God. Come on. Oh, that you're returning your blessings. I mean, come on, God. Would you give me at least 3 good days with my teenagers? Let me know something is working. See, but the truth is, oftentimes, our motivation to keep going is the progress we're experiencing rather than the obedience he requires. See, if you're only motivated by your progress, you'll miss the blessing. You have to be motivated by your obedience. God, can you please let me see some kind of breakthrough? Let me give you a life lesson this morning, or this tonight. Obedience is my responsibility. Outcomes are his responsibilities. See, I just have to determine my obedience. If he said it, I'm going to do it. Come on, amen? Come on, just shout, God, if you said it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to walk by faith in obedience. Come on, amen. I know what he said, and I'm going to obey what he told me. Even if it looks like nothing is happening. Because when there is no evidence that I am on track, my faith is still producing what he said he would do in my life. That's why I can say, Waymaker, promise keeper, miracle worker, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. My God, that is who you Even when I don't see it, he's working on your child. Even when you don't think that he's working, he's working. He's working. He's working. He's turning that thing around. He's turning that situation around. Even when I don't see it, or even if I talk to him and I don't even feel like it is happening, he's breaking addictions. Come on, amen. Oh, come on. He's breaking strongholds. He's breaking bondages. Even if I can't see it, even if I don't feel it, my faith, come on, amen. My faith still believes that God is working, and he is the Alpha and Omega, and what he began, he will finish it. Even when I don't see it, he's working. Even when I don't feel it, he's working. Why? He's the way maker. He's the miracle worker. He's the promise keeper. He's the light out of darkness. My God, that is who you are. Let me give you another principle. If you want to keep going and you don't want to fall short or short circuit, learn to be quiet when a miracle is in process. Whew. Seven priests, seven horns, 7 days, seven times, and on the seventh day. In verse 7, he said, pass on, encompass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horn passed on before the Lord, blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. Remember this, trumpets blowing are a sign of praise. The presence always follows praise. And the armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpets, and the rear reward came after the ark, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until time word. The day I bid you shout, then you shall shout. Oh, I'm going to help somebody right now. Sometimes the best strategy is shut up and march. Oh, I know that won't tip, but be quiet and march. And march. Find out what God is saying. Keep going. Because that's where your victory is and your blessing is coming from. See, we here in the American church, especially in the Pentecostal, charismatic, spiritual, whatever term you want to put on us, we love instant breakthroughs. But I submit to you tonight that many miracles are shortcutted or short-circuited by loose talk. You get in the midst of God doing something, and because you can't see it, you tend to start talking in such negativity, unbelieving ways, and you short-circuit what God has processed. Now remember what Proverbs says, and I like Nathalie brought this out. I think it was today. She said, death, he puts it right up. She said he puts that right up there in front of you. We were talking this afternoon about that verse. And she said, he puts that right up in front. Death, he puts that right up in front of you. But death and life are where? In the power of the tongue. Now let me show you how important that was. Turn with me real quickly to Numbers, real quick. I'm almost through it. I've got to give you this from Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14, and remember this is what happened to their forefathers. They went in to view the land of promise, And they came out, and if you remember, they said, "We are not able." Remember that? And in Numbers chapter 14, verse 28, watch this. Powerful verse. Now, this is God speaking. "As truly as I live, saith the Lord." How many of you know he ain't going to die? He done that and been rose again. And he lives forever. "As surely or truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so I will do to you." God said, "I heard you. And that's what I'm going to let happen." "Well, I ain't ever going to get these bills." God said, "I heard you." "I just can never see my family coming in." God says, "I heard you." He said, "I heard you." And we just keep talking when God said, "Walk and be quiet." Oh, me, God, help me. Forgive me, Lord. I'm preaching to myself right now because I find myself at times, you know, talking myself out of the very victory. And sometimes it can come easy when it's people you really love. You know, one of my problems is I'm a fixer. I know how to fix things. You come in and give me your problem, I can tell you how to fix it. I love fixing. That's just me. That's part of my gifting. I can fix it. Like I said to him in the second service this morning over at Peachtree City, you know, if you're having problems with your finances, come on, let's counsel him. When you come to counsel with me, bring your checkbook. I can just look at your checkbook and tell what you love the most. Whew, hallelujah. Got awfully quiet in here. But it's true. I can tell where your treasure is, where your heart is, just by looking at your checkbook and see who, if you're writing more checks down to Dillard's and Walmart and all these other places than you are to the house of God, maybe that could be a reason you're having some financial difficulties. But God says, listen, not only is your wife tired of hearing you, not only is your husband and your kids, but you don't wore me out with all your words. He said, "You have wearied me. Walk and be quiet." I mean, you got to get this picture. Get this picture. Thousands of people walking around a city on a dusty road. Now, listen, it's not a problem if you're in the first 10. Oh, help me today. Thank you, God. See, it ain't a problem if you're in the first 10. But if you're number 2,032 in that dust, come on, amen, that dust cloud, why do I keep doing this? This just don't make no sense to me. My clothes are dirty, and I'm tired of doing this. And God said, "Can you walk and be quiet?" And not only that, the people on the wall are going, "What are y'all doing down there? I thought y'all were going to take the city, and y'all just walking around in all that dust cloud. You can't even see the one in front of you, and you going to take this city?" Don't say a word until I tell you. I mean, listen, can you imagine these being men of war? I mean, they are dressed up like, "We're going into battle. We're on our way to battle." Because these are men of war. And what did they do? They just walk around. Thank you, sweetheart. I love that witness. Hallelujah. The Bible says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. He said, I perfected praise. See, you think you perfected it. She just did. I mean, these are men of war dressed up in battle. I mean, I remember when, you know, I remember when I was, you know, during Vietnam, I was, you know, you dressed in your fatigues. Got your rifle and your bayonet on the end of that thing and ready to be shot or get shot. Or shoot. And they're just walking around. Day two, they're walking around. Now, I can imagine by day five, their attitude is, don't you talk to me. Don't you make me sin with my mouth. Leave that alone. Why? Because here's what's important. Here's what's important. God told Joshua, march 7 days on the seventh day seven times. The only problem is he never told the people how many days they were going to march. See, if I know I'm on day five and only got two more days, I can build up the strength. When that DI, that drill instructor, when we were going through, you know, some of our, you know, practices, when he said, you got two more miles, I was ready for that. I can do that. I can handle that easily. I don't care how much of that artillery I got on me. I can even do that without a canteen. I mean, I can do that. I can build up enough endurance. But when I'm on day five and I don't know if I've got 6 days left or 10 days left or 20 days left or 100 days left, then I have to believe that what God has said to me is working. Even when there is no sight evidence, I have to believe that he's working. You do know tonight, life never tells you two more laps and you'll be successful. God never tells you one more Sunday and you'll get your breakthrough. If you can just get out of your bed one more week and give me some praise. No, no, no. God says, show up, keep quiet, and keep marching. Sometimes God can't fight our battles because we're too busy fighting them. So I say to you in closing tonight, walk every lap like it's going to be the one that's going to reveal the promise. Oh, walk every lap like it is going to be the one, oh, the one that's going to reveal the promise. And one day you're going to walk right up, come on, amen, wake up and get up, come on, amen, and say, if I got to crawl, I'm crawling around this wall. I know one day he's going to give the word and I'm going to shout. And when I shout, come on, amen, he said, when you hear the long trumpet blast, see, that's a biblical announcement. All through the scriptures, a trumpet blast had to do with a word from God. That's why Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, nobody knows what to do. But when the word of God is clear, everybody knows how to respond. When you hear the word shout, see, it's not time to fold your hands and say, I don't feel like shouting. See, you have to know that there is a time to walk and be quiet, and then there is a time to shout. But here's the problem for many in the church. We got people that are shouting and ain't got no word. And when you shout and don't have a word, you don't know how to keep walking when the shout is over. But when you got a word, you can keep walking no matter what is going on. You can shout, come on, amen, because it's got some meaning. Because when he says shout, walls begin to fall and obstacles begin to come down. turn to somebody and say, come on. Say, come on. It's time for our walls. Listen. See, some of you, you've been walking, and you don't think your breakthrough is coming. But you've stayed faithful. I'm talking to some of you here tonight. You have stayed faithful. You have stayed faithful, and you have kept believing against all odds. You know, no idea when the moment is coming, but hear this. There is a shout. Listen, their shout was not the shout. It was not an emotional response, because when they shouted, the walls were still standing. They didn't shout because something has happened, because they shouted because something was going to happen. And when they shouted, the walls began to respond to their shout. I'm telling you tonight, prophetically, God is developing a shout in this house. You don't hear what I'm saying tonight. This house is developing a shout because something didn't happen. Come on, amen. It's not an emotional response. This is a shout of faith that says, devil, I'm letting you know it don't matter how big the walls are or how strong they are. If God be for me, then who can be against me? In all these things, we are more than a conqueror through him that loved us, because like Paul, I'm fully persuaded. Oh, hallelujah tonight. I am fully persuaded that neither death nor life nor principalities nor powers nor things to come nor things present, nothing shall separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. I refuse to stop short. As a matter of fact, I'm just beginning a new 40 more years. Come on, help me out tonight. Hallelujah. Some of you, it looks like nothing has been working. No evidence of things that are hoped for. But I'm not motivated by my progress. I'm motivated by the word I have. I'm not motivated by my opportunities. I'm motivated by the word I got. I'm carrying a word tonight. You are carrying a word tonight. I may be on lap number 5, but I am not quitting now. I am not stopping now. I got a word, and I'm going to walk and shout in obedience, even when I don't think I have anything to shout about. I'm going to shout anyway. Some of you are going to be riding down the road tomorrow on your way to work and feel a shout. It don't feel like I'm winning. Come on, amen. Turn to somebody and say, shout anyway. Shout anyway. Come on. Say, shout anyway. And those walls are going to respond, not to your voice, but to your obedience. It doesn't matter what it is. He may say, sing. Then you start singing. Well, I don't know how to sing. Well, do what David said to do. He said, if you can't sing, make a joyful noise. Start making a joyful noise. Get out of your car. Don't do it while you're driving, but get out of your car. As you're getting ready to go to work, start patting your foot. Come on. Whatever you got to do, make a joyful noise. But that's what he said in Psalm 81. He gave us the criteria that he said, number one, sing. Well, I can't sing. Well, that's okay. Borrow one of David's songs. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall be in my... Oh, well, I don't know how to sing. Make a joyful noise. Can you make a joyful noise? Let me hear a joyful noise in this house. Come on, let me hear it. Come on, come on. I said, let me hear a joyful noise in this place. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to do like the old timers did. I'm going to shake my foot. I'm going to do my dance. I'm going to do my whatever I got to do. Hey, I ain't in this thing play no more. I ain't playing in this thing anymore. Whatever I got to do, I'm going to do it. Like the woman that had the issue of blood, she said, if I can just touch the... And she pressed her way through the crowd. And she touched the hem of his garment. And the touch the hem of his garment, she had to get down on her knees. She had to worship. And she had had this issue for 18 years. 6 plus 6 plus 6. Whew. She had had this issue. But she just said, if I can but touch the hem. And that wasn't the H-E-M. That was the H-I-M. If I can just but touch the hem of his, I know that I will be made what? I know that I will be made what? Oh, so I ask you, just try it this week. Can you walk without murmuring? Can you follow without complaining? Can you shout when you're or not emotional? Can you muster up a praise when there's nothing to praise about? Because my problems respond to my obedience. Can I just give you one more word from the Lord tonight? I believe with everything that is within my being tonight, as I stand here in this pulpit, breathing, I believe tonight that God is about to infuse your weariness with strength. Unprecedented strength like you have never had or experienced before. Because faith always has a focus. James said, ask in faith, come on, amen, nothing wavering. Ask God, not your friends. Ask and not waver. Don't care whether you believe it or not. Don't believe my Heavenly Father watches over us. But I believe if we ask anything according to his will, he hears me. Some of you are facing walls so big, you can't see any of the fragrance. You haven't been experiencing much joy. Those walls are nothing in comparison to your God. And when they fall, they'll fall flat. God is going to give you victory. The wall will fall flat down, and you're going to go up this year and take possession of what's been promised. God is saying, walk, don't murmur. Get up every day and show up. And the people on the wall say, what you shouting about? You say, you just hold on for a minute, and you're going to find out, because I got a word. You may not see anything right now, but you just watch. Stay right there. I'm about to give a shout, and when I get done shouting, you're going to see the things God promised me begin to manifest. Don't count me out. I am God's workmanship. I am his masterpiece, his tapestry that he is weaving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you for this house. Thank you for this house, and thank you for your people tonight. Thank you for your word tonight, God. For what your word is doing in all of our lives. Thank you, God. From the depths of our hearts, we thank you. Oh, God. Oh, awesome and wonderful Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. To stay connected, download our NCC app, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, or join our Facebook group. Thank you and have a blessed week.